This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
It is so frustrating. You've watched the well-known TV dog trainer and are following his advice. You are the leader of the pack. You're demonstrating your superiority by calling your dog to your side with a deep, booming voice. And your dog refuses to come. He sits there yawning and licking his lips. What gives? My guest, Turugas, is an internationally known dog trainer who believes that by understanding the unique communication style of dogs will cause our human dog family to howl with delight. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
I love cleaning the litter box, said no one ever. Luckily, there's World's Best Cat Litter, the litter that promises less mess with less litter. Only World's Best Cat Litter uses the concentrated power of corn to quickly trap odors in tight clumps. And quick clumping means you never have to chisel or scrape the box. Less cleanup with less wasted litter? That's a litter bit amazing. Save $2 on World's Best Cat Litter. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Turid, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm very honored because you are extremely well known throughout the dog training world.
Thank you.
Now, with our dogs, we know that you and I see our world and respond to our world in different ways. We see things, we smell things. How do our dogs interpret the world around them?
Dogs are visual, first and foremost, and they see everything that's going on. They pick up small signs in you and other dogs and in everything that happens. And of course, they have a nose that is absolutely incredibly good, also with smells.
People are amazing when, you know, they put on perfume and their dog just seems to move away from them, because it's like, you know, we have bomb-sniffing dogs, but definitely not bomb-sniffing humans. So I'm sorry, you were saying visual and then smell. How else do they perceive the world?
So, you know, they are survivors. And to survive, they had to pick up everything that could help them surviving. So they are extremely good at seeing the smallest signals in what other dogs and you and me are doing all the time. And they know before even we know ourselves what we're doing. They are so sensitive.
With dogs being, and now we're their pack, with dogs being pack animals, you know, you think of a wolf pack and they're barking at each other and that's how they're getting their information across. But of course, they don't have words. How do they communicate in a pack?
They do communicate in a very varied way. They can give each other signals with that you can hear, use a body language, and they use mimicry. Small signs like blinking of the eye, turning their head, small movements of the body. And that's why they can keep peace and quiet with each other and solve conflicts before they even started, because they are so good at picking up the small signs in the beginning of a situation.
I'm looking at dogs and, you know, being a veterinarian now for over 20 years, I should be able to read your body language. And here I am, someone who is, you know, not an expert like you are, but have been doing this for a period of time. And I know it can sometimes be very difficult for a pet parent to get through to their dogs. You know, as I was saying in the beginning of this piece, that, okay, I am the alpha dog and I am going to have this deep booming voice and I call you to my side. and the dog just sits there and yawns.
Yeah. Because when you use a very deep and strong voice, you are actually oozing of aggression, not being firm or anything like that, but you sound aggressive. So you should never talk to a dog like that. I talk to my dogs in a normal voice, just like I do to my grandchildren.
But what happens when you really are upset with them? Is that okay to kind of raise your voice or change the tone of your voice then?
I actually don't. I mean, sometimes you can do that a little if you really want to make a point sometimes, but I don't feel I really need it, because I tell my dog to do something and I just mean it. I usually do it because I don't do it all the time. That's one of the problems. People command and tell dogs to do things all the time, and that's not fun for anybody. They get sick and tired of all this commanding and controlling.
They just want to be a dog sometimes.
Yeah, they need to be a part of the family just like you and me. And you can look at your dog as a part of the family and think, would I talk like this to my grandma or my uncle or my grandchild or whatever? I mean, if we go around controlling people like that around us, they get pretty upset about us.
Well, I think you haven't seen our American presidential situation right now. So, yes, some of us are rather upset. We'll see how that style works. I agree with you. The tone has so much to do with it. Sounds like you'd be just a perfect grandma to have around.
And I mean, dogs have a much better hearing than we have. They hear many, many times better than we do, and if you start to talk strongly to a dog, all he will hear is that you are aggressive. And aggression is something they cannot stand, and they will try to calm you down very quickly, and that's why they're yawning and blinking and looking away and doing all these things to try to tell you, can you please calm down?
If we only listened, that would be wonderful. I believe you call these calming signals, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We just had to put a name on it, and we chose the name calming signals, and that's been sticking to it from the beginning.
So how many calming signals are there, and do all dogs speak the same calming language?
They all know their language. They are born with it. They don't even need to learn it. It's in them. And I travel the world, and I have been communicating with dogs in Australia, America, Asia, Japan, wherever you go. They will understand because it's their language. It's a universal language.
What are some of the common calming signals that we could see in our dogs?
Well, some of the most common ones, the first you will see in a situation, will often be that they turn the head a little. Or it can be blinking with the eyes, yawning, licking. It can, when they start to get a little stronger signal, they will turn the body away. They might sit down. They might lie down. That's probably the strongest. And also stop and stand in a freeze position. That's when it's starting to get really serious.
So serious that they really need to get their message across, or serious that they might change their behavior towards us?
Yeah.
Or does it depend on the situation?
Usually between dogs, I don't need to use very strong language because they do understand. But people are not so understandable, so they can be more difficult for them to get through to.
So this training, we're really training the people and not so much training the dog, because they know what they're doing. You just have to learn how to listen to them.
Because the language dogs, and they use it because that's the only language they can. And so they use it naturally, and they get very frustrated when nobody seems to understand them. You can imagine how that is, landing in a country where you don't understand anything, nobody understands you. That's really, really troublesome.
I've had the fortune of traveling, and when especially I went to China, oh my goodness, you know, you could tell from somebody's body language what they were trying to tell you. And after a while, it was just so tiring trying to get your message across to these people. And you'd look at each other and throw up your hands and sometimes just walk the other way. And I can imagine if I had to live in a home with them and I couldn't get my ideas across, it's like, I'm just going to sit in the corner and chew on my bone.
It's really hard. It really is. But also, one thing we should think about is that when somebody doesn't understand our language, we start to use more body language. We use hands and movements and facial expressions, and we do all kinds of strange things to make them understand. So we also have a little of this in us from the old times before we had any language.
So we just have to tap back into that again.
Yeah. And the calming signals is a universal language, not only between dogs, but also other animals. There are people now who are actually coming out with books and films about calming signals in horses. And I have used that for horses as well in the old days. So it works for everybody, actually.
Fascinating. You mentioned some of these different signs, and I'd really like to kind of go through some of the more common ones that we would see in our own dogs at home and try to better understand what each of them means. So mentioned yawning. When a dog yawns at you, is it just bored? Is it tired? What's the meaning behind a yawn?
In most cases, it is a calming signal because when they yawn, it's because they get stressed in a situation. And as soon as they get a bit stressed, they need to calm down something around them. They yawn because they have to get some more oxygen into the bloodstream. And that's why we also yawn, actually. So it has to do with a little stress in the situation, and therefore it also means that I'm stressed and I want to calm down something around me. The most common are turning the head, yawning, licking, and blinking. They are the first signals. If you can start watching those and get good at seeing them as quick as possible, then you have a very good starting point in understanding your dog.
You were talking about turning the head away. There are times in the office where I find that if I come straight at a dog, you know, I'm in an office call, I open the door and I come straight at them, they turn their head to the side. But if I can come in somewhat from an angle, it's like, oh, who are you? So when we're on a walk with our dog and somebody's approaching us and we're going straight at them, let's go say hi. Oftentimes you watch a dog somewhat kind of shy away and turn their head.
Oh, yeah.
Are they trying to avoid them?
Because when you walk straight at the dog, that is a threatening thing. And we don't want them to feel threatened because some dogs will get into defense and others will be really scared and they will feel very bad in any case. So all the ones I train, they have to learn to curve a little so they don't straight at the dog at any time. At home or out, it doesn't matter. It should be a normal thing to do when you are approaching a dog. To curve a little, turn your head away, maybe a little side to the dog instead of the front.
Good information. And licking. You see these dogs, it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's all of a sudden licking its lips and it's kind of putting its head down a little bit.
Yeah, it's the same with all calming signals in the beginning. It just shows that they need to be polite. They need to tell you that you are polite. It can be because something is happening around them they don't understand. It doesn't have a specific meaning. It has a calming effect on the surrounding.
Does it help if you lick your lips back at them and kind of turn your head to the side?
No, that's not the point. If a dog is turning his head or licking when you are approaching, you should approach by curving and showing that you understand what he told you. He asked you to be more polite, and then you have to behave more polite.
So licking your lips back at them is not going to let them know that I understand what you're doing?
Okay. That will be a more or less teasing. It's just the same as when somebody says something to you and you just repeat what they said and don't answer the question, you just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. That is teasing and very, very irritating and frustrating.
Yes, it is. One of the things I also noticed that you're talking about is something that dogs do, and it is, I think, really cute, doing this play bow. When they come to each other, you'll see them when they're out in the play yard or dog park that we have here in the States, and all of a sudden two dogs come up to each other, and they go down to their front end, and their tails are wagging. Is that a happy sign?
It can be, but in most of the cases, it is also calming. And sometimes, you know, we have to guess sometimes. And sometimes it looks like it's an invitation to play or being fun. But in most of those cases also, it's because the dog is a little unsure and want to be sure that the other one gets a point that he is friendly. So it's a little mixture in that play bow. Many cases, just calming signal. Sometimes a little mixture of being playful and also calming.
I'm chatting right now with Turid Ruges. If you notice a bit of an accent, that's because she was born in Oslo, Norway. She's an internationally known dog trainer who really has a wonderful way of understanding dogs. So we'll learn a little bit more in the next 15 minutes. So sit, stay. We'll be right back after this short message.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky.
It's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Turid, this is fascinating. I mean, there's so many things I know that I can use when I'm in my own office.
You are pretty good yourself, actually. You're pretty good yourself.
Thank you.
That sounds great. That's good. Yeah.
Well, I've been doing this for 30 years. One of the signs I'll see in dogs, and I do not understand this, it doesn't seem to make any sense. A dog will all of a sudden, maybe it's a displacement behavior, they'll start sniffing the ground. They're walking along and they just stop and they start sniffing the ground. It's like, does it really smell that good there? What's going on? What's sniffing?
Do you know that when the calming signal doesn't really work and the situation is going on, they have to do something more. And at some point, they get into what I call the yellow zone, where they start to get ready to do something more to defend themselves. And then they go into one of four. They can try to go away. They can try to take back. They can freeze, total freeze position, or they can do what we call fiddling. That means rolling around or sniffing the ground and doing all kind of silly things, biting the leash or whatever. All these four things have to do with defense. is gone past the normal calming signals level. They are now trying to do something more about the situation.
So that's when you really need to start paying attention to them and get them out of that situation.
Oh, as soon as it gets to that point, you have actually gone a little too far. So my trainers, they have to learn to see the small signals so they can be prepared to help the dog to get out of a difficult situation before it gets to that point.
So when you see that in your dog, don't push it any further. Back away, put it in a different place and time.
It can be as simple as getting more distance to things. Or if it was you who caused it, you have to look at yourself and shut up a little bit. So people get too angry at dogs in situations, and that's really awful for dogs. When mom or dad is getting angry, that's really bad. And it can also, you know, it can be getting more distance, but it can also be, for instance, that you go in and split up. You go in between the dog and the threatening object, or it can be other things.
It is one of the, yes, as you're mentioning, very frustrating things where your dog has done something that you perceive as bad. It's destroyed something in the house, it's pooped on the floor, it's barking at the mailman. And sometimes we just need to sit back and try to understand where the dog is coming from, what's going on in its head. Why did it destroy it? Maybe it's a panic attack and we don't understand.
No, because we have a tendency of starting to train as soon as there is a little problem with something. But we have to find out, first and foremost, why. We have to find the reasons, the background for it. And it can be that the dog is stressed for other reasons. It can be that the dog is not well. One veterinarian I know, he says that nearly 90% of dogs with so-called bad behavior, they have pain somewhere. And I think that's a little bit too much maybe, but he might be right. He might be right.
How many times, Turd, you and I, you have a really bad headache, and from the outside, you look fine to everyone else, and then somebody comes along and asks you a simple question, and we figuratively bite their head off.
Yeah.
And
this
is a dog, and it's hurting, and you can't tell from the outside, and you want it to do something. Going, oops, maybe there is something wrong. So, yes, trying to know your dog.
We know a lot now about a very recent research on both the brain and skeleton and joints and also muscles. We know a lot more about it. And these three points are something that I have to teach my students a lot about and which so many dog trainers have no idea about at all. Muscle pain is really bad. It's really awful. And so many dogs suffer from it, and they can't tell us. So we have to watch out. If something goes wrong, we have to try to find a reason.
Turd, I think this is marvelous because, sadly, so many people do not understand the very subtle ways that dogs can demonstrate, and cats too, and horses, will demonstrate pain. You know, well, it's not crying out. You know, it's not whimpering. It's not doing things. And that's you and I, the way that we will demonstrate pain. Quickly, can you tell the listeners some of the subtle ways that dogs will display signs of pain so they know what to look for?
We have to look for the balance, how the dog is standing and moving. You can see very easily if he's out of balance. If the weight is too much forward on the shoulders, that means he's trying to put the weight off some painful parts in the back. It can be hanging the head or something. Dogs have often a lot of pain in the shoulders because we walk them wrongly. We exercise them wrongly, and the shoulders is a very vulnerable part. So it can be anywhere on the body, but you have to look at the balance. And if you don't see it yourself, you can try to find someone who has a little information about balance in the body. It might be a physiotherapist or somebody else. not veterinarians. They don't even know that dogs have muscles, usually. But I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth. And they have muscles, and muscles keep the body in balance and keep it the right way so we can do things. And what we do with dogs, we take them out of balance, and that has effects on the rest of the body.
You had mentioned something interesting. You caught my attention of we walk them incorrectly. What are we doing wrong? What should we change?
You should change a lot. People just put a leash on the dog and they walk straight ahead. Walking straight ahead, straight on, and especially on flat roads, is the worst you can do to any dog. It will cause damage on the shoulders. You can't avoid it. That's why guide dogs are the most injured and damaged dogs on earth, because they have to walk straight on all the time. When we walk them, it should be very, very short on leash, and then they should walk. You have to know what gait the dog is in, and he should walk, not trot, not run. When I sit watching dogs, wherever I go, I see that people have no idea. They walk so fast that the dogs have run for their lives. And that means they are running a marathon, actually, every day. They need to walk, and then they should have a lot of freedom to move around and use the body in different ways. In a fenced-in area, in places where they can, it's a little up and down and a little varied terrain. That's what is best for them. A joint expert, Martin Fischer from Germany, he has been studying this for years and years, and he says that dogs should move freely around. They should move a lot, but at their own wish. And walking should only be very shortly, and if it's on flat ground and straight on, it should be limited to just maybe minutes.
And we think we're doing the best thing by popping that leash on them and taking them for that good hours walk, the pavement, and actually we're doing our pet some harm. Fascinating.
Yeah, they're actually harming the dog. So the best thing is to take the dog to somewhere. If you need to have him on leash, just let him go around, sniff, and do a lot of things, and you just follow. And let the dog move how he wants to do and explore the way he wants to do. That's the best you can do for your dog.
So we're going on a walk with the dog instead of the dog going for a walk with us.
Yeah. And we should do it together. We should enjoy it. I mean, for me, it's wonderful to watch my dog exploring and having a good time out there on the walk. I love it. It's so nice instead of just marching along.
It sounds like you have a very good relationship with your dog. I want to go back to the calming signals that we've been chatting about. Now, are these signals the same the dog's entire life, or do they change?
No, they don't change. Actually, we've done some studies on it. There was a friend of mine, she took in dogs that were thrown out at their homes, and a lot of them got puppies when they were in her house. So she had a lot of information about how they were. They have calming signals from the very beginning, from the day they are born. But they cannot show much because they don't have so much control of their muscles yet. But as soon as they get a little control of them, they start to use them all. And at the age of 2 months, they have most of it.
So the same signals they have at birth and they start showing at 2 months will be the same ones they show when they're 12.
Their whole lives. Yes. They might get better at it because, like with everything, we can always get better and get more social skills. And so they can get more subtle about it, more sure about it, be better at using it in different situations. But it's the same signals.
And if there are certain signals that you find the dog that you, as a human, are able to interpret and understand, can you reinforce some of those calming signals so it's a benefit to the dog? Okay.
No, he won't understand it. You should actually not distract the dog at all. If you see your dog using calming signals, the best thing you can do is to shut up. Just let the dog work on it, because the dog will get results. And that's the only reward the dog needs.
I like that. Just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best thing you can do. don't mess it up by distractions.
So we can't reinforce. Can we teach new signals or what they have? That's their repertoire.
No, you shouldn't mess with those things at all. Because if you try to teach a dog a signal, it will be a kind of a trick and it doesn't mean anything. It has no meaning behind it. It should come from inside, from the dog itself, and it will if he has the right surroundings and the right distance to things, they will come. All the ones he needs to know, he will use.
Sure. Something that I see periodically, and I don't know what it means, where two dogs will be sitting down and one will raise its paw up, like a front paw. What does that mean?
The raising of the front paw is also a calming signal. And not all dogs use it, but they will all understand it. It's a calming signal.
Just a calming signal. Okay. And smiling. I've had some dogs where the client will come in and say, oh, the dog is smiling. And if I didn't know better, I would think the dog was trying to be aggressive. So is smiling a calming sign, or is that something people have taught?
It can be. It can be not that just a few dogs use it. And the fact is that because it looks so weird to us and a bit funny, people always give some signals back like laughing or, oh, look at that, and something like that. And of course, the attention they get for it can make them use it more. But then it gets overdone. You can get dogs who have learned to smile so the whole range of the teeth is showing. And that is not normal. That's not the way they usually do it. That has to do with the attention they have got for it.
So other signs, just very quickly, because there's so much that we could go into. When a pet lays down, a dog lays down, shows a belly, and then urinates on himself. That seems to be not calming, but scared.
Yeah, it is, because urinating is actually what they do when the stress level gets higher. That's why some people think that dogs are marking territory, which they are not. They are peeing more because they are interesting smells, or they are a little bit stressed or upset, excited or something in the situation. Soon as they get more excited, either from fear or excitement or whatever is happening, water will come out. That's a physiological thing. Stress levels up, water comes out.
All right.
But it's the same with us. When we get stressed, we have to run to the toilet or we sweat. We sweat.
Or we pee on ourselves, and that's really very bad.
That's very bad, but often it's just running to the nearest toilet. If we get very stressed, we sweat. Dogs cannot sweat, so it has all to come out in urination.
Tori, this has just been fascinating. There's so many things that people have, I've hopefully learned from listening to you today. If they want more information, is there someplace else they can go, a book you've written?
I have my book about calming signals. That's still available. And of course, if somebody wants to join my trainer education in the U.S., they are welcome to do that also. I'm having regularly trainer educations there, but the book is a good start.
And the name of the book?
It is On Talking Terms with Dogs, The Calming Signals.
Fabulous. We've been listening today to Turid Ruga. She is a wonderful Norwegian, internationally known dog trainer, behaviorist, communicator. Thank you so much for listening today. Turid, thank you for being my guest.
Oh, thank you very much for letting me join you. Thank you so much.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. And Mark Winter, thank you so much for being a great producer. Please tune again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.